Good afternoon.
Well, I guess we'll start with the audience. Have you made a decision on the quarterback situation?
I have.
And who is it?
It'll be Nick. Yeah.
And what factors led to that?
Well, you know, where Carson is health-wise, and just you know, another week of rest for Carson will help him, and so made the decision to go forward with Nick.
Is there consideration of putting Carson on IR, or are you just...
We will not put Carson on IR. Yeah.
Hey, Doug, from your standpoint as the play caller, game planner, last year having gone through this, how much did it help you to get Nick ramped up to speed? How much did it help you?
First of all, you need a new hat.
What's wrong with Arizona?
You know, a lot of it, I don't know if I've said this, but after the Cowboy game, Mike Groh and I got together, and really we wanted to kind of condense the plan just a little bit for the guys. We felt like, and that we just needed to kind of get back to the basics, excuse me, just a little bit. And so this was before, you know, the Carson Nick deal last week. We decided to go forward with that and put together a game plan that would be conducive for anybody, you know, quite frankly, any of our quarterbacks. And so I think that's what you saw that came out of the game, which was a credit to Mike and putting the plan together like he did, and you know, gave Nick, as we go through the week last week, or went through the week, every opportunity to comment on the game plan if there's things he didn't like, just like we would with Carson, you know, and there were a couple things, but for the most part he felt comfortable with it, you know. Didn't really have to change a whole lot, or at least go back, you know, to last season to pull anything from last year. And again, I felt like coming out of this football game, it was just a team effort. You know, I mean, it was offensive line, you know, the receivers, backs, defense. I mean, it was just special teams, just a great team effort.
You said in the radio, fewer pre-snap motions.
It can take it away, but it also, by formation, putting guys in certain pre-snap formation positions can also tell man zone. So you don't necessarily have to have a motion or a shift to tell that. It's all based on the film study and how we want to align. So, and then you're going into a loud environment and all the moving parts. If you notice, you know, even last night in the second half, we had a couple of penalties. We're moving some guys around. We got some holding penalties and things. And so we felt like to just, you know, let everybody kind of be stationary, the best we could, and let you know, Nick kind of settled into the game that way.
So, but you said you will not put Carson on IR. When we last talked, you said it would take maybe 3 months for this to heal. Does that mean that you've gotten good news since then? Has your time frame sped up? More doctors, or have you got more opinions?
Well, it's a couple of things. We've gotten a little more information, and two, this is probably why I don't like to put timetables or put players in boxes. So things have changed just a little bit. So, you know, he'll be listed as week to week. We will not put him on IR. And, you know, obviously when he's healthy, he's our quarterback, and we'll go from there.
Well, is there a possibility that he plays without the stress situation being completely healed if there's no danger for the damage?
Well, and that's something we'll continue to monitor with him and our doctors and make that determination when we can.
Is there a plan to close the next 2 weeks?
This week for sure. Yeah.
What was the information you got? Was it positive?
Yeah, it was positive. We just continue to gather information like we do on all our athletes and all our players, and you know, the information is favorable, and it's something that it was positive for him, positive for us, but at the same time we got to make sure that he's you know, 100% or better before we put him back out there. But Right now, he'll be listed as week to week and go from there.
Have you got a sense of
this is a damn difficult for him to watch? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, listen, he's such a competitor, and he's won a bunch of games for us here, and he will continue to win a bunch of games for us. And, you know, it's... The thing is with Carson, as much as a competitor, he's so giving of himself. You saw him in the game last night, how engaging he was with myself. He was engaging with Nick, and very supportive that way, as tough as it is. And that's a credit to him.
Because you sometimes see in sports, especially the whole back quarterback, the team plays better because there's no super. There's no Carson Wentz, so okay, Nick's playing. It's not Carson. Maybe you play a little bit better across the board. Do you feel that that's what happened the last two Sundays with your team? Because you keep going back and saying it's, and last year you said as well, it's a team in all three phases, everybody played well. It seems like that's what we occurring. It's Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and I think too. Anytime we win, it definitely truly is a team win, regardless of who's playing quarterback. But you know, the other thing too is our backs are against the wall too as a football team, and we know the nature of where we are, what needs to be done, and I think you saw a little bit of that last night, just how well this team kind of came together in all three phases. Quite frankly. To get this win against a great football team and a good football team. So, you know, every win is cherished and appreciative and hard fought, and you know, we just try to get the next one. Yeah, I think you know, coming off, of course, we had the two wins, the Giants, the Redskins, and then a tough Cowboys loss in overtime. And sometimes as a coach, you're concerned with another long West Coast road trip, and will there be any kind of a letdown, especially after, you know, our defense was on the field for almost 100 plays, you know, the week before. But, you know, we as a team, we really stay committed to our process and to what our task at hand is, and you know, I challenged the leaders of the football team last week to stay engaged, to motivate the young players to come to work every day, you know, excited and get ready for another long, you know, road trip. And so as the week progressed last week, each day got just a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better, and by Friday I felt that guys' energy were back, you know, from the week before. Saturday's walkthrough was one of the best, even though it was a walkthrough set. I didn't even say walkthrough, it was more of a jog through, but very spirited, kind of upbeat. And the guys were looking forward to going out there and facing the Rams team. And it's just been a credit to, I think, the coaches and players for staying engaged.
As a follow-up to that, as much as we talk to you about, you know, schemes and game management, you know, personnel decisions, how important is for your job getting the team kind of the right state of mind for games?
I think it's huge. You know, I think part of my job is to make sure that the team still understands the goals at hand and what's right there in front of us. You know, and I think it's important that we maintain that vision and have that vision. We're still playing for something, and then of course the players have to embrace that and go play. So. I think it's a big part of the messaging to the team, you know, each week, and they responded well.
Is that a strength of yours, or something you take particular pride in?
I take a lot of pride in it, quite frankly. I'm not the smartest guy, quite frankly, and you know, probably not the best communicator all the time. But there are moments where maybe something I've read or something I've seen or something like that sort of sparks a little fire inside of me that says, you know, that's something I need to share with the team, you know. And I think, too, these guys, I know what these guys are battling through each week. I mean, it's tough to win games in this league. And so I've been there. I've been on teams that have done that. And I think to show a little bit of care and concern and love for the players goes a long way, and then they'll respond, you know, as they did last night.
I know you deal with Avante Maddox, the offensive player, but what is it about his approach to playing this game when you're doing the job that you like about him?
He's been a real consistent player for us, you know, outside of the injury and the setback, but even yesterday, and he's played multiple positions, which means he's a highly intellectual guy that understands scheme, and you know, he's a young player that's just going to continue to get better, and really excited for him last night to get in there and make the plays he did. The interception was a thing of beauty, and then of course, you know, the end of the game to be in that position to sort of contest that throw. But this guy, he comes to work every day. He feeds off the veteran players. Malcolm's been a great leader for him, you know, back there in the back end. Corey Graham's been a leader for him back there, and he just continues to get better each day.
Jonathan mentioned that these games are hard to win, all three phases. Quarterbacks get too unspread as you might claim, but
so do head coaches.
As a former quarterback, is there something to win games when you see these quarterbacks with a great win loss percentage? Is there something different about them?
I think they have a great handle on how to process, you know, sort of, you know, I know in Nick's case, former basketball player, and I know he said this before, he's like a point guard, you know, in basketball, and he just wants to distribute the ball, or it doesn't matter where, it just wants to distribute the ball, and I think that's what you see characteristic, you know, of great quarterbacks in the league is how well they can do that. And you know, they don't get too high, they don't get too low, they kind of stay right in the middle, and if something negative happens in the game, they brush it off and want to come back to it again. They'll make it right the next time, and I think that's something that you know, our quarterbacks have that type of demeanor, and you know, that was one of Nick's strengths, obviously, and it showed last night. I mean, that's, you know, obviously we hope that's a bridge we'll cross if we get there. We still got a lot of football left, but you know, right now we're gonna stay committed to this week. I'm not gonna look any further than just the Houston Texans this week, and I mean, you know, one day I'm sure we'll cross that bridge.
With Jermaine Jones, Siamalo, and Nets, where are you with
those
guys?
All right, so Siamalo, he's getting better. Again, we'll see where he's at. He's close, but maybe not there this week. But he is getting close. Jordan Hicks, should expect him this week at practice on Wednesday. So we'll see where he is. Who's the other one?
Jernigan's
coming along, and you know, hopefully he can do something on Wednesday. You know, get him back in the mix. And the other one?
And Sidney Jones.
I'm sorry, Sidney Jones. Sidney's probably more week to week. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks,
guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson addressing the media after a big win last night in Los Angeles. And right out of the gate, Anthony, his starter this week. Nick Foles, yeah, under center. Once again, Carson's week to week, so he wouldn't commit to Foles for the rest of the regular season. But he's going to be your starter against Houston on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that he announced it right away.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be Foles. I mean, I don't think there's any choice for Doug not to go Foles. I mean, got it.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on. I mean, just upset the Rams. I'm the biggest Wentzman there is. Carson and I are in the Baxter right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to start Foles.
Yeah, you don't want to put Wentz in that spot either, you know, after coming off an improbable win. There's just so many factors that go into the decision.
Yeah, I mean, for the team, like, look, the best thing's about the team, right? Mm-hmm. The team responded with Foles. That's good. They need it. They need to have a chance to continue that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were tweeting after the game last night that Carson had a look on his face that NBC showed after the win. And now everybody's going to dissect every grimace. Like he was like, oh, well, I should have been out there. You know, that kind of thing. And that he's jealous or whatever. Everybody's going to dissect these things. But he's a guy with that's got a tremendous head on his shoulders.
Well, you don't know.
And was a part of the game plan last week as well.
You can't take a singular look of a whole night being on the field. I mean, that's crazy.
Could have stubbed his toe.
Yeah, the bottom line is, do you think he wants to play? Of course he wants to play. You know what the deal is. I thought he was terrific after the Super Bowl. And he was talking about the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He's like, I wanted to play.
Yeah.
But he was supportive of Nick. And I thought that was I thought he manned up. It's a tough spot to be in.
He's a good teammate. You're right. It is a really hard thing to do, to wish success on the guy that's replaced you. It's a weird feeling in your body, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, and it happens again.
Yeah. Now,
could you imagine that? Oh. Like you walk in and you go, and as much as I'm sure those two are really friendly, mm-hmm. and you can see Foles. Like Foles is a good dude. Like he's probably a great guy, great teammate, all that stuff. That's why they all love him. So he's trying to make it easy on you, but your own competitiveness can really eat you up.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because you're not jealous of Nick. Alone. He's jealous of the situation.
And the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in your moments alone, when you let your guard down, it eats you. There's no other way about it.
He's coming off of, I'm sure he's devastated that he lost to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, you believe this? I lose to Dallas. And then Nick comes in again, and then he wins as a 14-point underdog.
You can't write this stuff. It's insane.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I salute. I mean, it's one of these incredible stories.
Philadelphia sports, man. I'll tell you, this is the most bizarre city in the world when it comes to sports, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not in other cities, so we don't look at it as closely and dissect it.
No, but I mean,
it is bizarre.
Listen, I've been in other cities. This is pretty wild.
Chicago, New York.
The last year, this calendar year, has been the most bizarre year I could ever imagine.
The year of the blue moon, you brought it up.
We had blue snow, yeah.
The blue snow. Yeah. Let's go to Ray in Levittown on the Fanatic. What's going on, Ray?
Hey.
Go, Ray.
I can't believe that game last night.
I know.
I was thinking, first of all, boy, I wish I was having a beer with Anthony somewhere because we're getting a cool dust up with some Folesians when it's over.
Hey, I made my peace last week. I was like, listen, God bless, man.
I want them to win, too. But like you were saying just a little while ago, too. I mean, everybody in general, you in particular, have been screaming, balance the running attack.
Blitz
every 300 or 400 freaking snaps.
Right.
Run Sproles or Sproles between the tackles. And everything they did. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I know. I don't either.
It's almost like it was deliberate. I couldn't he played a good game, but he wasn't transcendent,
Right.
And the Chargers, I mean, like that you said a few minutes ago, I think before Doug came on. How do you have a jump ball with two Eagles and nobody around him on the 10-yard line?
It was unreal, Ray. When the play developed and you saw Foles was going to get just pasted, but he stood in and delivered that.
Yeah, he did get killed.
The arc on that ball, and you're going, and you look and you go, oh my God, there's two guys there.
Yeah.
And then you just hoping they don't cancel each other out.
Right.
It was like somebody not calling the ball in the outfield. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's right. But two outfielders going, bye, ball.
I think they could have got roughing the passer on that because he ran him right in the forehead with his forearm and chopped him in the throat.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
He's holding his neck when he came up from that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Ray. Everybody's thinking when on two plays, Anthony, the fake punt. Everybody's going, as soon as I saw it, that ball's on the ground. That is not a completion.
Oh, no.
And I'm going, oh boy, these refs, here we go again, right? And then the fumble going, is there clear evidence that the Eagles fell on the ball from the week before? And that one, you go, oh,
I wasn't worried about it with the Rams. I just worried about it with Jerry Jones.
it's only Jera's presence
it's
that causes
it. It's only Jera, and it's only Jera at home.
Oh, okay. So
has to be in Dallas. Like, it's not going to happen.
It doesn't travel?
If the Cowboys go to Indy. Right.
And it didn't happen. They got goose egged. How about that? Wow.
I wasn't worried about the rest last night.
All right. Look, I hope this all sets up that the Eagles end up making the playoffs and Minnesota loses one of those games, Eagles win out, whatever it is, and that the Eagles end up down in Jarrah World for Wild Card Weekend, like Saturday night, what's the game times? They usually do like a 4 and a 7:30 or something like that, or 3 and 7. Like a 7:30 Saturday night game. Everybody go out to the bar. That'd be a great night.
It'd be awesome. Usually 8.
Is it an 8 o'clock game?
Yeah,
oh, man, it's perfect on a Saturday night. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Midday Show Takeover brought to you by Carlino's Market. Quality food and tradition since 1983. Check out either location in Westchester or Ardmore online at carlinosmarket.com. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez. We're back after this on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
O'clock hour brought to you by Tropicana Atlantic City. Celebrate New Year's Eve with dazzling fireworks on the Tropicana Boardwalk. For more info, visit Tropicana.net.
Philadelphia Eagles are Nick Foles' team, baby. Let's go.
Uh-oh.
Pull your head out of your ass!
Classic.
Crowd up humming last night?
Yeah, I think it was another record.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Far different tone, though, than maybe last week after that Dallas loss, right?
Well, of course.
Wow.
St. Nick is back.
Well, are you saying that we should, or certainly I, me and Carson, should stay in the Baxter?
with your plugs in? Oh, man. Coming up in a little bit, Ant, we're going to call a name at 12:50. And that person, I hope you registered on our website, 975thefanatic.com. Register your name and listen for it. Because when we call it, you got 10 minutes to call us back. And at 12:50, we're going to announce the name. That person will have 10 minutes to call us back for a chance at a spin on the holiday wheel and a chance at amazing prizes from Steven Singer Jewelers, who you're just talking about. French Creek Outfitters, Flacco's and Conshohocken, Landis Block and Concrete, Imagine Lifestyles, Luxury Car Rentals, Ron Jaworski Golf, Sixer Flyers, and more. And if that person doesn't call, we'll still spin the wheel. And that prize will roll over to the Mikey Miss Show. Now, do you want to spin the wheel? Or you want me to spin the wheel? You're a little, with the back, I think, a little jacked up today, huh?
No, I'm fine. I have the neck. No.
Oh, you got the neck?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, you want to give it the rip today?
Yeah.
You look like a good guy that could spin the wheel, give it a good crank, right? You ever crank the wheel?
No. Is this Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah. I like that wheel. You can get it on the, because that one lays flat.
I would want to do, like, you and the, not Wheel of Fortune, the, what's the one, which show is it? Price is Right Wheel.
Oh, yeah, that's the great one with all the colored lights on it.
Yeah, what is that wheel?
Well, Andrew? that's the Showcase Showdown wheel.
That's it, the Showcase wheel.
You're looking at me like I know.
No, yeah. I don't know, dude. I always remember that, like, every once in a while, like, somebody would just kind of not do it, and it would, like, tick, tick, tick.
Well, that one had a good sound. It was boop.
Yeah. And I always want, like, you want to just try to do it as hard as you could.
Yeah.
To get it off the hinge.
Yeah. See, that's what you do. You do nothing soft. You're not a guy that's got touch when it comes to the wheel.
Kind of touch or you want to throw.
You can do that. Or get it right off the fingertips. Bob Barker and all the fabulous Showcase girls. 610-632-0975. So riled up coming up, and we'll give that name at 12:50 as well. Let's get back to the phones. We go to Shannon down in Fort Lauderdale's on the Fanatic. How you doing, Shannon?
My brothers, did I say it to you yesterday? I told you there's a sleeping giant that woke up in the middle of last week. I told you that we were going to beat the LA Rams. I told you we're going to win these next two. Minnesota is going to lose, but guys, all that being said, wonderful, right? But I need to know, what is it about Nick Foles, man? Like, when you look at him in the game, he's like, he's really out in the backyard playing football, man. He's so calm. Like, I don't know any other NFL starting QB that looks as calm in the pocket with an aggressive defense coming after him like Nick Foles. You guys know anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, a guy named Tom Brady's pretty calm in the pocket. team. I mean,
Ben Roethlisberger. Yesterday, come on, he didn't look calm yesterday. He wanted him to look calm.
Let's calm down a little bit.
Come on,
pump the brakes.
I mean, stop. I mean, it was an awesome. It was great. The whole team rallied, but let's not go overboard.
Well, let me ask you this. What? I'm gonna just play. I'm gonna play a little fun with my brother today. Let's just say, in the magical world, that we win these two games, we get in the playoffs, right? And Nick Foles wins the second Super Bowl.
Right.
is Carson is still our quarterback, right?
Listen, if you want me to move to Denmark, go ahead. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, if it happens again, that would be an amazing story. But I don't know. Like, what do you want to do? Like, is Wentz not your starter? You trade Wentz?
No, I'm going to put it this way. I've been an Eagles fan for 40 years. I love Wentz. I love Brian Dawkins. I love Brian Westbrook. I love Mike Quick. But no players above the team.
So you love the Eagles?
I love the Eagles more than any player. If Nick Foles wins us another championship, man, that makes an interesting conversation. Carson is still my boy, though. He's still my boy.
I'm uncomfortable talking. Like, listen, if that happened again, God bless. It'll be the most amazing feat ever. I thought the first one was. Like, I thought that was a miracle. If this is Rocky 2, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Rock didn't win in Rocky 1, though, did he?
No. But
you know, that's
the fact that he would, if he won again, like, I guess, I mean, you know, I don't know what you do. Guy wins twice. Yeah, he deserves to be the quarterback, right? I don't know. Trade Wentz, whatever. But can that happen?
I don't know. We didn't think it could happen last year. Anything's possible.
Exactly, right? Like, I can't, right now, I don't even want to think, make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's make the playoffs. Let's beat Houston. And then, you know, hopefully we can hope that Minnesota loses. And let's get to the playoffs before we're talking about who's the quarterback.
Yeah, in Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta.
I mean, you know, yeah, I hope. But, like, it sounds like the magical world of, you know, it's like some alternate universe.
Yeah, see, one of the things we talked about on Friday that we said when Foles came in last year, he was stepping into a far different offense. One that had more weapons. You know, they had a deep threat in Torrey Smith. They had running backs, and this would be far different. One of the reasons why I didn't expect him to win is because he was stepping into an offense that wasn't as prolific as the offense has been this year. Now, the offense was pretty prolific last night, but will that be going forward? And you remember last year, Ann, when he came in, he initially didn't play great. He did enough to win the games he needed to win, but he played great in the second half of the Atlanta game going forward, and then in the Minnesota game, and then obviously in the Super Bowl. This year he comes in, and oddly enough, the same week.
Well, now you need him to be great the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, who knows? Maybe he's one of these guys that has this, he's like MacGyver. As the situation is
Richard Dean Anderson, wow.
If the situation is at its most bleak, he's the guy.
And that's what he draws on. And it works. God, if that were to happen, you don't even know how to explain it. Because it's not able to be explained.
Well, no, I mean, like, then he's...
They need to do, like, an X-Files episode on him.
Yes. No.
He's an alien.
He comes in and does it again. When it's your most bleak, here's St. Nick to the rescue.
James at Old City's on the Fanatic. What's up, James?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, buddy?
That was a great question by that last caller. Like, if they win the Super Bowl this year, who's the starting quarterback? It's like, dude, if you hit the Powerball for $400 million, you're going to stay in the city or move to the suburbs? I don't know. Does it matter at that point? Who cares?
Yeah, right. That's like, yeah, you work at the job, you go, you win the Powerball, that's like worrying about who the boss is going to be. You know what? It doesn't matter because I'm not going to be working.
Right, who cares? Oh, yeah, they win the Super Bowl, who's the quarterback next year? I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care if the team folds after that. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
I'll take it. We'll wrap it up. That's it. It's been a hell of a ride.
No, it is. Then you retire as a football fan.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to watch anymore. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But, how about Goff, man? Is he like Tony Romo 2.0 or what? That's it.
Oh my God!
That is so him.
That is so him. That's a great comp.
It's like a scared cat.
He is like a scared cat. He is.
Yeah, people are talking about comparing what Wentz and Foles. Dude, it's after last night, look at Wentz versus Goff. I'd be happy with what you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
Break.
Look, I'm not going overboard and saying Goff stinks all of a sudden because he didn't.
Oh, Tony Romo.
No.
Yeah, but in the big spots. Yeah.
No, that's why their comp is perfect.
Yeah.
Because Romo looks. I mean, every coach loved Tom.
Oh, they loved
the a gamer when nothing was on the line.
Right.
But, I mean, I told you guys back in October, I beat the Rams twice this year, so.
You did! James, you did. And do me a favor.
Yeah.
If they're in the playoffs, you got to come in for the day.
I will, but the thing is, they're going to have to play them in the title game. But that's fine.
Yeah, in L.A. at the NFC title game. That'd be another win in L.A., too, where the Eagles will take that stadium over again.
Yeah, another home game in L.A., but, yeah, another thing about last night was good. Well, here's the thing. The defensive line, everyone's talking about how they're not the same team as last year. The defensive line was the number one thing to me all year long now is the difference between this year and last year. Once that D-line shows up and you get pressure from the front four, it changes the entire game. It changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge deal. So, I mean, that was big. And also the fact that this is kind of like going second level, Chase, I know you love this. The fact that they beat the Rams last night, that puts Chicago a game behind the Rams. So that keeps Chicago alive.
Oh, that's a good point.
For the number two seed. So the last game of the season, the Bears play the Vikings.
Yes.
The last thing we would need was the Bears going in that game with being locked in, you know? I mean,
That's a great point. And thanks for the call, James. That's a great point. I didn't even look at that ramification of the loss. Now, too straight for the Rams. That you look at that division, Anthony, and the Rams are 11-3, and the Bears are sitting at 10-4. So this home field thing's up for grabs right now. The only team with two losses is the Saints in the NFC.
That's right.
Wow.
By the way, speaking of that D-line, it was important. You know who played well is Nada.
Yeah.
Like, Nada back. He played well last night.
Al mentioned, he said, Haloti Nada turning the clock back at one point. By the way, the remaining games for the Rams, at Arizona, at San Francisco.
Yeah, that's all right.
San Fran got a win this weekend. Did you see that?
Yeah. That was that whole Seattle played Monday night at home. They beat up the Vikings. Then they go to San Francisco short week and lose. The Vikings come back because they're the team that lost to Seattle. And then they come back and blow out Miami, which the week before beat the Patriots.
That's why the NFL, it's not necessarily who you play all the time, it's when you play them.
Yes.
But the thing about it, that's what makes last night really interesting.
That also makes the run possible. It made last year's run possible.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. But last night it was weird because the Rams are coming off a road loss in Chicago, and you thought you would get a different Ram team, a more difficult Ram team based on the spot. And the Eagles still took care of business on the road in a very interesting spot.
Without a doubt.
Crazy.
Without a doubt. Now, that game, if you look at last night's game, it's so interesting, right? Because it boils down to the Eagles in the first half, the defense coming up big before halftime and not allowing a touchdown. So the game's tied. So you feel good, right? Mm-hmm. Like the game's tied. All right. And then the getting the turnovers, the third quarter was key.
Oh, no doubt. You're absolutely right. I did an Insta poll on Twitter at halftime of the game, Ant, just to see, because the game was tied at 13, and a lot of us didn't think that would be the case. So I just put out a poll on Twitter. It said, Eagles were a 13-point underdog in this game. It's tied at 13 at the half. Quick Insta poll, who wins? 58% of the people that responded, 2,000 votes, said Eagles win. Fly, Eagles, fly. So they had faith at halftime,
right?
The fan base.
So let's go back, because that's where the game's won, right? Now, it's 13-13, and this was my fear, that they would go 3-and-out to start the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles went 3-and-out. But the beauty was the next series, because the Eagles pinned them. Remember the punt? Remember the punt was a great punt.
Oh, yeah, they pinned them. They almost had a safety.
Right, that was a big deal. They got the punt.
Yeah.
They are able to get... Gurley gets hurt, right? They knock him out of the game after that run. Because after that series, he leaves the game. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Yep.
And then they got the good short field. They started throwing 41 after that.
Yeah, that's that field position battle. That's so important. That and one of the thing, and then you couple that with the turnovers
that set up the throw to Jeffrey, and boom.
Yeah, and to that point, we talked about this all year. Why you bring pressure to get turnovers so you can create short field advantage, and that was another case of it right there, just by with that good punt to pin them deep. 610-632-0975. Real quick, this week we got a busy week this week. We're in the studio tomorrow. Wednesday we'll be out at Andy's Diner in Conshohocken, and stop by and see us there. And then Thursday, Ann, how about this? You could join us for the fourth annual Feast of the Seven Fishes broadcast. We'll be live at Ralph's Italian Restaurant in South Philly, presented by Sterling Vineyards and Behringer Wine. And we'll be broadcasting live from 10 to 2 this Thursday at Ralph's. Then we're going to be celebrating with a full Seven Fishes meal after the show.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're having a good time.
Yeah, you started this, obviously, 4 years ago.
Yes.
The Feast of the Seven Fishes.
I do. It's one of my favorite things. I love the holidays. The feast is coming up, and I do it at my house, and mm-hmm. we wanted to do it for the listeners, and so we got a great spot in Ralph's that we're going to go to.
My favorite place.
So we're going to enjoy that on Thursday.
First time I was ever there, I had just come back to Philly to work at a different radio station in the music format. I'm there like a week, and they have a ratings party because the station was doing really well, right? And I'm in there, and I don't know any of these people I'm working with. And my boss was a guy named Tim Sabian. He worked with Stern and all that stuff. Crazy guy. I'm in there 10 minutes. The lady's taking the orders. He picks up a roll and hums it, nails her right in the head. A full-blown rolled food fight going everywhere, 25 people. I don't know anybody. I'm sitting there. True story. I'm sitting there and I'm going, did I just join a radio station or a fraternity? Like, what the hell's going on here? Maniacs, but phenomenal food. I can't wait.
So it's going to be fun. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. Let's go to, we'll have a name, by the way, in 3 minutes for to get the spin on the wheel. Eric in Philly joins us on the Fanatic. What's up, E?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? What a great Monday it has been. So real quick, again, Eagles came out feeling dangerous yesterday.
Yeah, now teams are going to look at them a little different, right?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
The big thing is watching yesterday again, them coming in there in L.A., and it looks like the Eagles are L.A.'s kryptonite right now. We just kind of take over that stadium, take over that team, and they kind of just don't know what to do right now. But the thing that I saw, besides for, again, some of the different turnovers, I know you guys talked about a lot of it with Maddox, with Bennett, and just different things. On the offensive side of the ball, Alshon, again, played very well. Goltae, Ertz. It looked like everyone was kind of getting the ball. The person who I was a little upset that I didn't see a whole lot from was Nelson Aguilar. The big thing is, I know he's been kind of from last year being that like kind of turn-up year, this year being really kind of quiet, kind of back to maybe what we kind of saw in previous years. He's been bouncing around a little bit. I mean, what's your guys' take on it? Is it kind of like he's in a contract year? Would you say that maybe he's kind of on the way out? Like, what's going on with him?
Yeah, I think you need to upgrade there. Mm-hmm. I do. I think you need. I think that needs to be an upgrade spot. You look at it, and their receivers just aren't good enough.
Yes.
I mean, I love Alshon, but I think you need a speed guy next to him, and you need to work out a slot guy. Now, Golden State's going to want real money, so I don't know that you want to go that route either. I like Golden Tate, but he's going to want real money, and at his age, I don't think he'd do it.
Yeah, no, I think, again, they're going to have to go for someone in the draft, and then hopefully, again, we'll have Matt Collins next year healthy and kind of be burning guys on the outside. And, again, looking forward to this weekend coming up. I've been seeing a lot of with the Texans, again, the big thing is their defense. If we can go after their secondary, they give up a lot of big yards in that secondary.
Yeah, you got to bear down on J.J. Watt. I'll tell you that right
now. That's the big thing.
Yeah. And Clowney, they can use in some interesting ways, too. Yeah, you're right.
The other part of it, too, is thanks, brother. You know, Sean Watson, man, is just amazing. I love him. He's tough.
It's amazing.
He's tough.
He is a dynamic player. He really is.
And he's different than, you know, because he can move so well, mm-hmm. and he's got just a laser.
It presents an interesting challenge for the Eagles.
I'm trying to think of the quarterbacks they face because they haven't faced. I mean, Dak can move, but not as well as Deshaun, and he can't throw nearly as we don't have the arm that Deshaun Watson has.
All right, it's time, Anthony. It is time to announce our first name for the 2018 Midday Show Holiday Wheel. Here's the name. George Chesney of Ben Salem, not Kenny Chesney, George Chesney of Ben Salem. You're now on the clock, buddy. You got 10 minutes to call us on the contest line. The contest line number, 215-263-0975. Again, 215-263-0975. If he calls in by 1 p.m., he'll get the chance to spin the Fanatic Holiday Wheel. If George Chesney of Ben Salem does not call in by 1, we'll spin the wheel, and the prize will roll over to the Mikey Miss Show. So that person then, if they call in, will not only get the prize that they spin, but George's prize if he misses out.
Come on, George. If you know George, call him.
Yeah, you got to get a network, right? You need a network. George Chesney of Ben Salem, 10 minutes to call us at 215-263-0975. And we'll spin the holiday wheel regardless. Coming up before we get to the Riled Up segment, which happens at 1 o'clock every day here on the Midday Show. But yeah, it's been a pretty cool day. It's been a lot of fun today because you're coming off an improbable win. And just the feeling that everybody has. We always talk about what a win does to everybody in the Delaware Valley. And today's a prime example of it. It's been awesome.
That's why Nick Foles is St. Nick. You talk about it's amazing how he comes in and rescues the holidays. Jerry Jones plays Grinch, right? Pays off the officials. Yes. Whatever you want to say, right? Whatever it is, right? Steals the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a stolen game. Like we talked about those calls. That game was stolen last week.
Yeah.
And there's no one else you turn to but St. Nick.
This has been an amazing year. Look, if you look at this, somebody tweeted this out last night. If you look, had they not had that game stolen last week and they beat the Rams, they'd be in the driver's seat big time because Dallas went down and got goose egged by Indy. I mean, now it'd be like a game up. And you're going, oh, my, it's foregone conclusion. You're going to win a division. And you're going into the playoffs. Maybe you're going to get hot. And this is twists and turns.
It is. It's amazing. But you think about the new superhero is Nick Foles.
Yeah, he's St. Nick with a big sack on his back. You know what I'm saying?
Feed the end.
All right, George Chesney, you got a few minutes. You've got about 8 minutes to call us on the contest line out of Ben Salem, PA, 215-263-0975. So we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll find out if George is called.
By the way, Officer Neal says no Foo Fighting Ralphs.
No, well, not this time. I'm a dignified guy. Well, I was in the upstairs there, and Tim Sabian got a little out of control in that there. Maybe a little too much drink. I ain't up there to tell him. Stay tuned. We're back after this. Riled Up on the way on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.